Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Aeolian Impromptu. I'm your host, Maya Barsak. Today my guest is Israeli conductor Ilan Volkov. Ilan is the founder and artistic director of Tectonics Festival, which features programs of classical modern music combined with other music genres such as improvisation, electronics, and rock. Tectonics has residencies in various cities around the world, and we're actually going to start off with an excerpt featuring Ellen Fullman and Conrad Sprenger from the Athens Tectonics in 2017. We're listening to an excerpt featuring Ellen Fullman on a 70-foot-long string instrument and Conrad Sprenger on guitar and guitar outputs. And this is a piece entitled The Woodpecker, the Hawk, and the Hummingbird. We're going to segue now to a short conversation I had with Ilan recently. Hello, Ilan. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Where are you these days?
I'm at home in Israel.
Yeah, how are you holding up during this COVID-19 era?
Well, I mean, it's ups and downs, like for everybody, I think. We are dealing with a specific political situation, which is quite complicated, quite negative, to say the least. Then, of course, all the personal things that we're all going through, myself as well. I have normal human stuff. And musically, I mean, it's been good. I mean, I've been doing 20 programs of a program called At Home, which I've started in this time for Radio Chala. So we did that.
Tell us more about it. What's in that program, At Home?
Basically, me choosing music that I own, either on cassette or vinyl or CD. And then we also interviewed quite a lot of people.
Are you interviewing composers?
I chose like many people that I know quite well. So some Israeli artists that I've worked with quite closely, Oad Fishoff, Mayan Sadka, and Yaron Deutsch. Then also interviewing composers like Christian Wolff, George Lewis, Cassandra Miller. So it's been kind of different genres, but a lot of people that I know quite well.
Oh, wonderful. You are the founder and artistic director of Tectonics. And so what's happening with Tectonics these days?
Well, we had a festival in beginning of May, which was canceled, obviously. We are hoping to just move it as is to next year. but of course, we don't know if that will actually happen. And then we're also doing a couple of projects. I mean, we did a really nice online project, which was basically opening up the archive of stuff we did in Tectonics Glasgow for a month. And we chose quite a lot of things, and there were discussions and lots of interviews and basically quite a lot of video and audio material that wasn't available online. So that was good. That was kind of basically a selection from the last 7 years, which was a good project. Then we are also hoping to do an online project soon with new work from selected Tectonics artists, basically people that have done Tectonics before, either in Israel or Athens or Norway, or it's basically an international program that will open soon online. And that will hopefully continue to be kind of a platform for new work. So I'm hoping that can expand quite a bit as well.
And so how do you curate Tectonics? Do you actually seek specific artists, or do they send you material? You know, it's a multidisciplinary, many genre kind of music. So how do you concoct your programs?
Yeah, I mean, it's not an easy thing to do, but I've kind of done it over the last 7 years, a lot, 8 years. So it's kind of constantly changing. One thing about it, there's usually another co-curator working with me, usually a local curator. So in Glasgow, there's Alistair Campbell, who's been organizing concerts and curating festivals for decades. In different places, there are different collaborators. Last Israeli version we did, I had three other co-curators with me on board. So it's changing. Sometimes I invite local curators to work with me. It's not really a festival that kind of asks for an open call. And, you know, I try to just like be basically knowledgeable about as much as I can, and then also think about new work that we commission. The way I try to work is also just the contrast between the different artists and the different disciplines, and try to represent broad aspects of new music, basically from composition to electronic music to improvised music. And there's also, of course, the base of the festival, which is usually orchestral music, which I also conduct. So I'm also one of the performers in the festival. So some of the stuff is kind of more long-term, like orchestral music. I have to really curate that and ask people in advance. And I need to sometimes commission it. Sometimes the composers themselves find the commissioning and funding. It just kind of changes between year to year. And there's, of course, there are artists that have done quite a few different Tectonics. So they've done the one in Tel Aviv, the one in Adelaide, the one in, you know, so there's quite a few artists that have done more than one festival. And that's also part of the strategy, which is kind of to have a sort of community of musicians, which I get to know better. We get to work with each other more than once, which is really exciting. We develop something over time as well.
Right. So you can see also how they evolve. What draws your curiosity?
To me, I mean, I kind of just been listening. I try to remain a listener and less, oh, I have such great ideas, I want somebody else to do them. That's a big danger with curation, where you kind of try to think that you know what should be done, and then you kind of get other people to do it. I mean, there is a, of course, that's more complicated than I just put it, but there is a danger there. So, I mean, what drives me on a personal level is just the curiosity of finding things that are new to me, first of all, that are still like really, my mind is blown. Like I hear it and see it, and I think, well, this I haven't seen before, or this I really don't understand, or feel really moved by it, or all these sorts of things. And I try to kind of keep my ears to the ground. And also I get a lot of recommendations from lots of people, and people approach me as well. You know, we are living in a time that's really, there's so much creativity and so many great things happening.
There's so many avenues, different kinds of music from all over the world.
Yeah, and of course we are living in a time of change also, with the way that we are moving, hopefully away from a centric European American sort of vibe to something that encompasses the whole world and is listening to different voices from different places. So there's also that social kind of aspect of it, which is the politics of it, which is kind of really expanded a lot in the last few years, but also like just because of the politics in the world, it's also changing the perspective to some degree, I think, for the better. So there's a lot to do in these aspects, you know, of actually making sure that we are representing work from all around the world, listening to different voices, not only if they are women or Afro-American musicians, but actually just like what they're saying is unique. That's also something really important to me. So that the work is kind of constant and it's endless. And also I change my view on things. I mean, the whole program is designed in order for the experience of the listener. The festival will basically kind of pull you in. Even if you're seeing stuff that you don't like, it's not really about that. It's more about where the journey of curiosity is given space, you know?
Yeah.
Can I ask you one last question, which is, what do you feel the role of art should be right now, given everything that's happening politically and also the fact that many artists right now are unable to continue doing what they're doing because of this pandemic?
Well, I mean, let's separate the two things. I mean, to continue what we do, I think if you love what it is and you believe in its power of change, I don't think there's one way again. And I think, I mean, obviously we are in a time of observing things because we can't do so much. So actually, I'm kind of more interested in the fact that there is a pause, you know, the fact that even if we didn't choose the pause, we are in that. So no matter how much you try to do things now, things will shut you down. So if you create a piece of music, well, you won't be able to get it played live. If you create, you know, etc. So we are kind of not in control. And that could be possibly on a long term really good. I mean, financially and socially and psychologically, it's a disaster. For artists, it can be a useful thing to go through. I think it's a mixture of all these things. I mean, for me, the fact that we can't do much and that we have to pause and we have to slow down, definitely that's a meaningful thing.
I was thinking more of, you know, many institutions right now are facing bankruptcy. And that means that a lot of artists are not going to be able to continue supporting themselves doing art.
Yeah.
And it questions the role of the arts in our society, not on an individual basis where, you know, you don't continue to do what you love because you love it, but more in the sense that aside from Germany, no government has really given support to the arts in general. It's been pulling teeth in order to recognize that.
Yeah, but let's be honest, that's been happening also before. So, I mean, arts, I mean, I think there are other countries that get support, like Switzerland, Austria, or maybe Norway. Some countries are getting more support. Some countries are getting a little bit. Some countries are nothing, like in Israel almost. Let's remember that this situation with the arts and the fact that neoliberalism is totally against anything like the arts, you know, it doesn't believe in it. It believes in capitalism only. So, I mean, it does believe maybe in art, but only art that supports itself. And that's not going to be the case for a lot of people. So I think the fact that we are confronted by this total collapse of the system is not necessarily a bad thing, if we can actually find a solution, of course. I think we are all indifferent. Some people will move out of the arts and do something else for a while and maybe come back to it later. Some people maybe will be able to continue somehow, and some people maybe will have to do both. I mean, it's a very individual thing. But I mean, the fact that we have to cry out and say this is a disaster, and the fact that you're not supporting is going to actually mean that there will be nothing left. That's a fact for sure. If you're asking me what to say to my government, that's what I'm going to say to them. I mean, I think they are just not seeing the big picture, and they are so afraid of the financial issues that they don't understand that nothing will be left. Maybe you'll save a bit of money, but when you come out of it, there will be nothing. It will be just desolation. So, I mean, that's not only about the arts, right? This is about so many aspects. So, I mean, when you don't believe in the state as being responsible to its citizens, and when you think that your only role is to make sure capitalism is running its course, then it's a disaster. It's a disaster every day. It's been a disaster for 50, 60 years since the Second World War, and it continues to be a disaster during an epidemic where it's obviously that system is not going to work. So even the most radically neoliberal countries now are having to spend money, which they on a normal day would never do. Let's not just scream now. Let's make sure that our scream against the system is continuous. I think we have to kind of understand that the social scream and demand that we need to do now is a continuous battle. And the fact that the corona is there is not changing that.
Well, thank you for sharing with us some of your thoughts.
Sure, I enjoyed it.
And all the best for your upcoming adventures musically.
Thank you so much.
I take it also politically.
Well, I'm just a little cog in the system, but yeah. Israel is always exciting. So even just being a very small part of it means that there's always some action going on. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, thanks again.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Maya.
We're going to listen now to a piece entitled Water's Voice, composed by Christine Pora-Haraldsdottir, which was commissioned and conducted by Ilan Volkov for the Reykjavik Tectonics Festival in 2015. And this features the Iceland Symphony Orchestra.
Thank you.
We just heard Water's Voice by Kristín Pora Aráldsdóttir, featuring the Ashland Symphony Orchestra under the direction of Ilan Volkov. Thanks again for tuning in. I'll be back with another interview soon. Till then, be well.